Hello and welcome to The Voice podcast.
In this episode, I had the joy of speaking with Jade Murray, also known as Hemeta. Jade is a musician who uses the online platform Twitch to stream her music live to audiences. In our conversation, we covered what it's been like to create an online community over the past 5 years, and what the creative exchange is like between herself and her online audience. It was super encouraging to hear how supportive the online community has been throughout the songwriting process. We also touched on the cost of living crisis and how Jade feels it has impacted herself and others in the space. If you want to hear more from Voice, please follow us on social media at VoiceMagUK. I really hope you enjoy the conversation. Welcome, Jade. It's so good to be here with you. Can you first please introduce yourself to readers? Who are you and what do you do?
Hello. Firstly, how I would introduce myself is my name is Jade Murray. I am a musician from the Norfolk and Norwich area. If you've been walking around Norfolk and Norwich, you've probably seen me busking quite a lot. A few years ago, I went to the online space, but online and things like that, I am known as Hemeta, and now it's a whole band, and it's really weird. It's kind of, over the past year, Hemeta has gone from a stage name to an ideology. We'll get into that at some point, and now it's like, it's basically a building that I just kind of live in now, and everybody mm-hmm. else just sort of comes in. We're like Google. That's what we're like. So I've always been a massive gamer. My interests when I was younger was, you know, big MMORPGs such as like World of Warcraft and everything. We don't calculate how much money Blizzard got from me because it's a lot. I used to be in like the Twitch space quite a lot my attention got caught by Twitch by the Pokemon event that they were doing. So it's basically some genius had found a way to engineer a Pokemon game so that people in chat could play the game themselves. So it would like be like a massive voting system of like, go left, go right, go up, do this attack and that kind of thing. And it was really cool. And so originally I was, you know, people said that I was quite entertaining at doing games and stuff. And I was like, yeah, maybe, like, so I did that for, like, a few months on Twitch while also doing the busking side of things. And then I stumbled upon an Australian singer-songwriter who on Twitch is known as Liz Sings. And then suddenly I was like, oh, people can do music-y things on here? That's kind of cool. So then I kind of like stepped into that whole realm for like the first time. But like, it's one of those things because I was never like confident about like my music capabilities. Like it could bring in like the pennies and it could, you know, I could make a living from it. But to do something in such a very, very professional setting, I didn't know if I wanted to commit to that. So I spoke to the people that was originally watching me, which was only like, I say only, it was a campfire of people, you know, like 5-6 people. And I was like, hey, like, so I also do music on the side. I've written like a couple of songs and they were like, oh my God, like we need to hear this. Basically it took over from there. So I joined Twitch, or I started doing like music and everything on Twitch in 2018. Mm-hmm. And the channel slowly started growing. I mean, obviously, the cool thing about busking for years was that I was able to transfer skills that I'd learned, like, you know, being able to go from one song to another really quickly. Thing that I really missed, I really missed out on, was actually being able to talk to people and also see their comments and not only just get the compliment of, that's a good song, here's a quid, but actually like, here's how my day's been, and here's, yeah. And I was like, this connection that we can actually have, where like, if you come back, I can be like, hey, we spoke about something ages ago, how did that go? How did that job interview go? And yeah, just suddenly realizing that it's not people taking time like, who have just happened to hear you on the street. It's people literally taking time out of their day to spend hours with you. And because we have so much, like, little time on this world and everything, that's really special.
Oh, thank you so much. Okay, so I would love to hear more now about your initial move onto Twitch, what that looked like for you, and how you started to gradually create an online community there. I'd also love to hear about how people engage with you and how you found that interaction with audiences ever since you started streaming in 2018.
So that's one of the issues on Twitch, which I will point out, is that, like, discoverability on Twitch is something that is at the moment kind of non-existent. So it means, if anybody does Twitch streaming, it means you have to network. Mm-hmm. So it was a lot of finding other communities that I really got the vibe with. And not going in and being like, hey, did you know that I'm a streamer too? Because that's scummy. Don't do that. But, like, actually, like, building up a friendship and also a friendship that's not with the idea of just give me your community, give me your fans. And so I did things like participating. So there's a number of Twitch streamers who host events, call sign Scarecrow, otherwise known as Maddie Twig, who is amazing. He does things called collabamajigs, like a thingamajig, but it's a collabamajig, where basically you can sign up if you're a music streamer and you get randomly paired with someone else and you have to create something together. So to kind of grow on Twitch, you have to become a part of the community, which I like. I like that that's actually, like, a way to do it, and it's not in, like, a leechy way. There's no, like, follow for follows. It's all like, hey, like, me and this streamer are hanging out quite a lot. They also know that I stream. I will never, like, talk about it myself. You know, when I'm in DMs with somebody else, then I'll happen to mention it. And if they push my channel, then they push my channel. And if not, I'm just happy to hang there. I will say that when it comes to Twitch, I play the slow game.
Okay, can you tell us more about what that looks like for you?
So obviously, in all social media, you know, whether it be Instagram, whether it be TikTok or, you know, YouTube or anything, you as a content creator have the option of playing the game, which is the whole Mr. Beast kind of shenanigans of, you know, of, like, walking up to the camera and being like, hey guys, so what are we gonna do today? We've got this amazing opportunity. And it sounds really cheesy. I have a rule of transparency when it comes to being a not only a musician but a content creator, which is, like, it's okay to have a mask, because obviously, like, on an online space, you need to be able to protect yourself and you need to be able to put up boundaries. But that material that you need to make that mask out of has to be as transparent as possible, because the day is going to come when that mask is going to break and people need to see that it's still you and not feel betrayed because they thought that you were someone else. And there's a few people that aren't too keen on, like, seeing people for who they actually are, because, I mean, to be honest, it comes off as slightly boring because you're not doing the Instagram, you know, taking the photos of the best moments of your life. Yeah. You're just sort of going, hey, so this is me. You want to hang out here? So, like, my tagline on Twitch, mine is always, welcome to our safe space. We saved you a seat. Like, which I really like, because it's true. Like, you know, I need to feel comfortable here. People need to feel comfortable here.
Okay, I find this fascinating, and I would really love to know how this creative exchange has been changed by your presence online. Like, how does your audience and your interaction with audiences impact your approach to songwriting and production?
Oh my goodness. So the first album that I released, which is called I Actually Did It, which is the most original thing, because apparently nobody else has called their album I Actually Did It. That whole album was recorded live on Twitch. From the very, very beginning until the very, very end. So not only was I, because I had no idea how to do it, because, you know, it was 2019 at that point, and I was looking at the prices of, like, all of the studios around me and went, there is no way I can afford this. I've never really made any demos before or done anything. I just kind of know how to point a microphone at it and just do it. And that's kind of my, not to sound like Shia LaBeouf or anything, but, you know, I really threw myself at it with their encouragement as well, because a few of them had, like, recorded stuff before. So it was literally me looking really awkwardly into the camera and being like, hey, chat, can you, like, does anybody know how to do this? And people being like, oh, so, like, you want to, like, take your microphone, point it at the 12th fret, and then, like, oh, when you're mixing, like, kill the 4K frequency. Can you, like, literally hear the difference? And in that regard, it was a massive exchange in that regard, because it was a transfer of knowledge. But to people who have wanted to record themselves, it was also a bit of a, oh, well, she's doing it. Like, and she has quite clearly no idea what she's doing. like this person doesn't have a clue, but they're doing it anyway. Mm. Which kind of eventually became the whole philosophy of the channel in and of itself, of, like, you know, breaking down the process. But, like, when it comes to songwriting, every single song that I've written has been while I've been live on Twitch. They see me write the song from start to finish. They see me record it. They see what gets edited, and they see, you know, they give me suggestions of, like, oh, it'd be really cool if there's a little cello in there, you know, and we'll try it. And I'll be like, hey, you're right. Like, that's really cool. Thank you.
So would you say you draw a particularly musical audience?
It is incredibly varied. So there's some people who come in who have always wanted to do the things that I've done. And then there's people who are like, oh, I'm just here because it's fun to listen to. It's, you know, it's fun to also, when I'm doing recording for, you know, when you try and hit that really, really high note, and then your voice just sort of goes, ah. Yeah. And then you sit and they're going, well, that was a bad take. And everyone in chat's like, yep, let's do it again. But yeah, and they also keep me accountable as well. Like, if they know that I can do better, they'll literally be like, come on, like, try that again. And I'm like, okay, you're right. And then we get, like, the perfect take. And I'm like, thank you guys for actually, like, pushing me, like, to do that. So recently the audience has become a little bit more music-based and music-focused. But yeah, I mean, there's all sorts. I think because you've got the chat there who's, like, not being pretentious about it, and me who's not being pretentious about it, being like, oh, we should add, like, this C sharp minor diminished sus 2 to this to, like, make it jazzy. You know, there's none of that. It's just literally like a D. D will work here. I'll just do that. Yeah, that sounds cool. Does that sound cool, chap? Yep. Okay. Well, that's what we're sticking with. Some people have even, like, recorded me snippets of, like, examples of, like, hey, if you try this instead, and then they'll send me, like, stuff on Discord.
So we've heard about your artistic career so far, your development as a solo musician, and your move on to Twitch. But you've also recently started a band. Can you tell us how that came about and whether the online platform had a role in that?
With the band and everything, I was saying in Twitch chat, you know, I was saying, oh, you know, like, I would love, because how everything's recorded, it has drums, it has bass, it has multiple instruments. You know, I feel whenever I send this off to someone, because I'm not using a traditional name, you know, I'm using Hermeta. When you send it off to venues and being like, hey, you should book me for a thing, and then there's only one of you that shows up, is a bit, you know, it feels a little dishonest. They said, you know, why don't you actually get a band? And because the Norwich area has a massive metal and rock scene, I genuinely thought that no one would be interested. And so, yeah, I reached out and just went, hey, like, you know, I've been on this scene for a while. Like, would anybody actually be down for this? Like, it's slower and it's, you know, it's more heartfelt. And we're going to talk about our feely wheelies for a second. Everything's just kind of come together. Yeah, and that wouldn't have happened without the Twitch community pushing me forward.
Okay, so getting now to the cost of living. How has the cost of living impacted you? It's impacted creatives in so many ways. I would love to hear more about what that kind of last year and a half has been like for you.
So with cost of living shenanigans, obviously that is affecting everyone right now. And it honestly sucks. And I think it's a difficult one because it's very hard to assess everybody's situation. But the main thing that I've been kind of a bit more forward on is everybody knows that people are struggling right now. So I have been very steadfast in, like, in my prices. And I've found that people are a lot more understanding now because now we're all in the same bucket. Or at least we've all been labeled as being under the same bucket, you know, depending on your income and circumstance and stuff like that. So usually, you know, when negotiating for a gig, so my rate as a solo musician would be £50 an hour. So if you want to do a 2-hour gig, you know, £100, which is, for this area, that's incredibly cheap. But it was just like a way to be like, hey, like, you know, musicians are still getting paid and everything. And that rate would be for, you know, people that I know. And I always have like a rule of not doing too many gigs a year in the same place. But like, especially in the Twitch space, obviously it's affecting everyone there as well. Because we're upfront and honest about it, so never in my streams will I ask anybody for money. Ever. Like, that's never something that's not even words that pass through my mouth of, hey, you've been here for however long, like, I deserve your money. Like, I don't deserve any of that. But your money is your money. You do with it what you please. But there is there's a rapport there because I've spent so much time investing into the people that come and see. Like, their support has never wavered. So on Twitch you've got things like gift subs, right? So you can gift someone a sub and you get, like, extra emotes that you can, like, throw into chat or emojis or however you want to describe them. And, you know, you get, like, perks, so you get, like, access to Discord spaces. I've got a thing where, like, if you are a subscriber, then the merch that's available online, you get a discount on. The interesting thing is that even though the cost of living crisis has hit and it's hit people real hard, my gift subs change every month, and they've obviously gone massively down because people can't give the extra and they have to hold on to every penny, and that's more than fair enough. But my main subscription count, which usually by the end of the month ends up at like 100 to 120, that has stayed consistent like the entire way through because people know that I haven't just created a show for them to go to. I've given them a space, a bit of escapism. People need escapism right now. I think I'm a little bit ahead of the curve when it comes to the cost of living crisis because obviously being full-time musician, like, I get by, but I have to be frugal.
So you've described how cost of living has impacted you. In terms of how you've adapted to cost of living, so at the moment on Voice, we're looking at how young artists in the UK can showcase resilience through the cost of living, how they've adapted both practically and creatively. So tell me about how the cost of living has prompted you to adapt, whether that's in creative ways online, through your songwriting, or just also really practically.
So everything that I've recorded has come from like this studio, which I will say, when I say this studio, because I know people are probably imagining that I'm surrounded by loads of gear right now, I will literally say it's like Ableton, some decent plugins, a Focusrite, and a like half weighted piano, and like whatever I've got around me at the time. What has actually arisen out of all of this is teaching opportunities. So not only do I go into schools and do workshops on like, hey, did you know that there's more careers out there than just, I won't be famous. We're doing workshops online, not just for music streamers as well, because they're like, there's a lot of like, this is something that's just for the established people. And I'm like, tell me that you're gatekeeping without telling me that you're gatekeeping. So we do things like open mic nights that are open for anybody who has a webcam and a microphone. And we've had some awesome people. Come on, we've had, and like, it's not just music either, because we've had poetry, we've had close-up magic. All about that close-up magic. But we're also doing like introduction to production, where I take people back to when I first started recording and I had no idea what I was doing, and basically being the instructor that I wish I had for other people as well, and basically being like, hey, so, you know, you want to record stuff and things are a bit pricey right now. And it's literally taking people by the hand and being like, come with me, I have things to show you. Mm-hmm. But there's no paywall to it, because it's very much it's a trust system of being like, I trust that you will stick around, and I believe in you, I believe in your process and everything else. And like, because of the cost of living, and because people need to be creative right now. Like, there's never been such a massive call for people to be creative, because every time you create something, you make the world a better place. Hard times is you know, this is where punk happened. You know, and no one's doing that right now.
It's been so encouraging to hear how supportive these online spaces are and how fundamental your online community has been to kind of artistic progression, and confidence building, and the kind of two-way dialogue between yourself and the community.
So I was doing a careers day in a sixth form, right? And I hope you don't mind me like sharing this story, but it's just I had like 2 minutes to be like, I have to give someone a pep talk before like class begins, and I was saying to them, you know, like, oh, you know, because we had like all of this looping equipment out, and we were like, you can mess around with it, you can do whatever you want, we've pre-set up stuff, there's also like 2 spare channels, so if you wanted to loop something and just have fun with it, you can.
Yeah,
this kid came up to me and was like, really interested in looking at stuff, and I was like, oh, do you want to do something in music like when you leave school? And they were like, no, I mean, I would, but like, my mom says I'm not talented enough to do it. And I was just like, instantly you're like, okay, contain the rage, you are professional, you're in a professional setting, like, we don't want
to lose it right now.
Yeah, don't lose it. And I was like, hey, so you know doctors, right? I was like, if you had the world's best doctor, right, top of the field, knows absolutely everything. Whenever a question is asked in any of their classes, their hand goes up straight up first. Now, would you give that same doctor a scalpel if he was 14 or 15? And they were like, no, because they'd hurt someone. And I was like, right. Same as, you know, I wouldn't give you a grand piano right now because you probably have no idea what to do with it. But the point is that, like, and I asked them, I was like, you know, how did they get to be the best? And they were like, oh, well, they went to the best schools. They, you know, read everything that they could. You know, they probably went to some really cool talks. And I was like, right, well, you know, music is a skill. I was like, I know that it's always been lauded over everybody's head that you have to be talented and you have to be, you know, whatever. But that's not true. Like, it's just a skill. That you can level up as you go. And like, it's one of the things that I really like doing on my Twitch channel when people go, oh, you know, but it's all right for you because you're like, you're an amazing singer and, you know, you're an amazing guitar player. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to change your opinion for a second. And I play them like the first thing that somebody ever recorded of me when I was 16. And I would go, right, would you say that would you subscribe to that channel? If that person was up now, I was like, ignore the fact that it's me, right? I was like, if you scrolled onto that channel on Twitch with someone with this voice, would you stick around? And they went, no, probably not. And I was like, right, it's a skill. You have to find where you want to start and go forward. Like, this is the problem. When people say, oh, people, you know, some people just can't sing. And it's like, well, so many people have been told that they can't sing, that muscle has never actually had the opportunity to be trained. You know, you take what you're given in life, but you're the one that's in control of the cards.
Jade, thank you so much for bringing your wisdom, your experiences, your really innovative use of this streaming platform to voice. I know that this has been just a really eye-opening conversation for me, and I hope it has been for many listeners as well. So thank you so much for your contributions and good luck with all of your streaming. Today's episode was made possible by Voice Magazine, an online platform for young people interested in art and culture. You can read Voice over at voicemag.uk, and find on Instagram, Facebook and X as @VoiceMagUK. If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider helping us to make more with a donation of any amount at voicemag.uk/donate. Thank you to Kevin MacLeod for the use of the track Thief in the Night. You can find more of his work on incomputech.com. Tom Innes was the executive producer.